Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Three Up, Three Down, your go-to podcast for baseball, entertainment, whatever you're in the mood for this September. Let me introduce my baseball roundtable associates once again for this week, who I would never call anything that Yunel Escobar would put on his eye black, starting with Kurt Peter representing the National League Central.
And the surging Milwaukee Brewers, of course.
Jeremy Dorn representing the National League West.
And currently in mourning.
Over to Brian Boynton representing the American League West.
And the team with the best record in baseball.
Ooh.
And Angelo Felicia representing the American League Central.
Just returning from Florida from spreading the Tigers' ashes.
And my name, Brian Mapes, I represent the National League East and the Atlanta Braves. And we're going to get into, luckily, somehow we all pick teams that are in the playoff race. We are going to get to our panic meter. Actually, we're not going to call it the panic meter. We're not going to rip off SportsCenter. We're going to call it the fright factor or the playoff panic, whatever we're going to call it. We're not going to steal it directly from SportsCenter. So no worries there. We're not. Don't sue us. ESPN. But we are going to start it off first with a Cy Young Award winner that might be out for the rest of the season. Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw might need surgery on that hip that has been giving him trouble. His start gets pushed back again. If he does need surgery on it, he says that he might be out until May of next season. Jeremy, what is going on with Clayton Kershaw?
Well, I don't know much more than you just told everyone. I know that he's hurting. I know that they keep pushing him back. And I know that surgery, which will keep him out, you know, even into the beginning of next season, is an option or a possibility. He's going for a second opinion, as far as I've heard. He flew to New York to see a hip specialist, and then he's going to meet the team in Washington for the series against the Nationals. But even the fact that he's going to see a specialist is what has put Dodger Nation in mourning. If they make the playoffs somehow without him, it might be the biggest miracle in baseball history.
And even then, you face a one-game playoff without your ace possibly going up against the Braves. Not what you want to see. Good news, though, for Jeremy, as closer Kenley Jansen will return Tuesday to his closer role after the irregular heartbeat knocked him out for a few weeks. So you lose Kershaw, you get Jansen back. Probably a negative still, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's great to have Jansen back, no doubt, but there's not really going to be any leads to protect with Kershaw. So he might not even see any innings, really. No saves to be had.
All right, going to go over to what I alluded to in the opening of the show. Yunel Escobar, the shortstop for the Toronto Blue Jays, gets caught into this big controversy. He was wearing eye black in a game that had a gay slur written in Spanish on it. I won't say it out of respect to that community. I'm sure you can Google it if you so choose and find out what it said. As somebody who's worked in a restaurant for many years, I've heard that word many times of cooks yelling at each other that, but not good. Should Major League Baseball take it into its own hands to punish Yunel Escobar, or is this something that the Blue Jays should handle? And what do you think Yunel Escobar needs to do to help build some PR back up? Gonna start it off with Brian.
Well, the Blue Jays need to go ahead and step out in front of this one. I know they've already said they're distancing themselves from the situation, saying they had nothing to do with it, but they need to step out in front of MLB and suspend him for the rest of the season, if not starting next season, or release him in the offseason, because, frankly, that just has no business in sports.
Angelo, over to you. Your thoughts on Yunel Escobar's eye black.
I think that I kind of agree with Brian that he should just be suspended by the Blue Jays, but they need to take the action. Don't wait till Major League Baseball does. As far as suspending him past the season, I don't know about all that. Because I'd like to hear why he did what he did. So I guess I'd give him a voice of reason first.
Jeremy, over to you. Your thoughts on Yunel Escobar.
Yeah, I think he needs to regardless of whether it was, you know, a bet that he lost or just bad judgment. Either way, he needs to explain why that happened. Even if he has to bite the bullet big time and, you know, just come out and say, I'm sorry, it was really stupid of me, thought it would be funny and it wasn't. Whatever the, you know, the result is, he needs to at least come forward, be honest, explain what happened, because if he just sits back and lets the team take care of it or whatnot, it's just going to dig his own hole a little deeper.
KP, over to you, your thoughts on Yunel Escobar.
Yeah, that was my biggest concern, too, is that everyone was... Or I read all these articles after I looked it up, and there's no explanation for it currently. And the biggest concern is a lot of the people are saying that he obviously has the ability to write on his own eye black, and it wasn't like a screw-up at all. I mean, it's just kind of like... There should be some explanation, but the Blue Jays definitely have to throw some repercussions, or the Major League Baseball. I mean, someone does. That's can't do that.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to do something. Apologize. Do something. There's a very large gay community, especially in Toronto, as I researched it, that there have been a million people come to a gay pride festival in Toronto. It's a huge community there. Yunel Escobar needs to apologize. Toronto needs to basically end his season now. Hope that this dies down. This is not something they want festering into next season. Going to go over to some happier news now. And Colby Lewis, who has been out since July with the elbow surgery, does get an extension, though, still, with the Texas Rangers at a probably much more discounted price of 1 year, $2 million through 2013. Brian, do you like the move for your Rangers to lock up Colby Lewis for one more season?
Well, I do like it because if you've watched his replacements pitch this year, Roy Oswalt and Scott Feldman, they have not been very good, I guess would be the nice way to put it. But this actually gives him, he'll be back probably June, July, right around the All-Star break. So he would start rolling, and he always, hopefully, he keeps rolling into, if they make the playoffs next year, he keeps rolling into the playoffs next year because, as we all know, he is a Bulldog in September. So,
Angelo, over to you. The Tigers facing some injury problems. Ryan Rayburn to the 15-day DL with a strained quad. Is this a big deal for Tigers fans heading down this stretch run?
It's a huge deal for Tiger fans. We're so glad he's hurting out of the lineup. Thank God. Get him out of here.
All right. Ryan Rayburn, not very popular among Tigers fans, it seems like, or at least our Tigers fan here at 3 Up, 3 Down, which brings us to the fright factor, all of our teams in the playoff hunt. And I'm going to start it off with myself, my Braves. Fright factor from 1 to 10, it's a 0. We're making the playoffs. We're not having a September collapse. We're going to get this one-game playoff. We're going to start Medlin or Tim Hudson. All the other teams that have this wild card, Clayton Kershaw was the only pitcher I was worried about facing in that one-game playoff. He's apparently done. I don't think the Phillies are going to make it. We're not going to have to face Lee or Holiday or Hamels. I will take my chances with the Cardinals. I'll take my chances with the Brewers in that one-game playoff. I'm just happy the Braves are going to make the playoffs this year and hopefully make a run. But we are going to get some panic from the other teams. KP, I'll start it off with you. The Milwaukee Brewers, currently 2.5 games out of the second wild card spot behind the St. Louis Cardinals, and they still need to jump over the Los Angeles Dodgers. How worried are you about the Brewers still making the playoffs, even though they've been on this tremendous run?
I guess I'd be lying if I still wasn't worried. I mean, we have had the whole previous season course of heading into the worst bullpen in Major League history, pretty much. And now we've righted the ship. John Axford's converted 11 saves in a row, allowing only one hit, no earned runs. I mean, our bullpen's been doing well. Hopefully, two-time MVP Ryan Braun has been slugging the ball like crazy. Not only him, I mean, Nori Aoki's been hitting the ball well. I mean, our whole lineup's been hitting the ball well. Corey Hart's been out for the last weekend, and we still have been picking up ground in the wildcard race, and he should come back Wednesday or Thursday from an ankle injury. But the only concern would be the strength of our schedule and the strength of the people that we're chasing schedule. We play the Pirates, the Nationals, and the Reds on a 10-game road trip starting tomorrow, which aren't the easiest of opponents, especially down the stretch. Granted, the Nationals might not have as much to play for, depending, we'll see. And the Reds definitely don't really have anything to play for, as they've pretty much sealed up being whatever they are, like 12 ahead in the division. So it'll be interesting. I mean, the Cardinals have a pretty cake schedule the rest of the way. The Dodgers lost Kershaw. But I wouldn't say we're panicked yet, because our percentages went from about 0.2 to about 11 in the last 2-3 weeks.
10 games on the road against the Pirates, Nationals, and Reds. After that, you get 3 at home against the Astros and 3 at home against the Padres. How many games out of the playoffs would you need to be to think you had a realistic shot going into those last 6 games at home?
I'm more worried about the Cardinals, so I'll phrase it like this. The Cardinals have, I forget who they play the last series. They play, I'm not positive who they play. You can look that up while I'm talking. But I think that'll be within 2 games. I think we have a shot, especially in the last 6 days. I mean, I don't want to say I'm not worried about the Astros or the Padres, but I'm not worried about the Astros. Who should be? I mean, no one. But I mean, the Dodgers play a tough team the last few games, and it could be anyone's race down the stretch.
The Cardinals' last 6 games are 3 home against the Nationals and 3 home against the Cincinnati Reds. So it's almost like a flip-flop there. The Cardinals do still have 6 games left against the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that's the one concern of their easy schedule.
Hey, just ask the Philadelphia Phillies how easy the Houston Astros are still, as the Phillies, I believe, dropped 2 out of 3. Let me double check that. The Phillies dropped, oh no, they actually won 3 out of 4. Or no, I'm sorry. I went to the Astros schedule. The Astros took 3 out of 4 from the Phillies over this past weekend. So the Astros aren't going to go down easily. They're still trying there in Houston. Gonna go over to our other National League representative, the Dodgers. They are 1 game back for the wild card behind the St. Louis Cardinals, 7.5 out in the National League West. That's pretty much out of reach at this point, you would think. They lose Kershaw, though. Jeremy, what is your fright factor for the Dodgers reaching the playoffs?
I'm going to put it right now around 6, and let me just qualify that for a few reasons. First of all, it depends on our 2 best players, essentially. First of all, Kershaw, you know, it sounds like he's going to miss some time, but if he, you know, decides he can pitch through the pain, he elects to not have surgery, whatever, if he can go and even have a start or two at the end of the year, he's a better option than any of our other starters, and that gives me a little more hope. The other guy being Matt Kemp that I was referencing, he's been ice cold. He's got that hurt shoulder, and it's not helping at all. He's just been a black hole in the middle of the lineup pretty much. So if he starts to swing it a little better, then I'll have a little more hope as well, because the rest of the bats were starting to come around at home against St. Louis this last weekend. And the last thing that I think it hinges on, you were talking about the Cardinals and Brewers kind of trading series with the Nationals and Reds. Well, the Dodgers are starting a series in Washington tomorrow and then starting a 3-game series this coming weekend in Cincinnati. So all 3 teams vying for that spot right now kind of have similar schedules, and whoever plays the best against them will probably come out with at least most of the momentum heading into the last 8 or 9 games of the season. That being said, you know, this is all before we made all the big trades and started going downhill, but that being said, you know, we are 9-1. I believe we were 9-1 against the Cardinals, Reds, and Nationals this year before playing the Cardinals this weekend, which we split. And we are, I don't remember the winning percentage, but it's, you know, upwards of 75% win percentage in the Eastern time zone. I don't know why. But if that continues to be a trend, I like our chances. Again, depends on injuries. It depends on, you know, how hot the Dodgers come out in Washington these next couple games. That'll really be a make or break for me if I have to hit the panic button full force.
Theoretical question. Would you rather be one game out in cold like the Dodgers, or would you rather be 2.5 games out and hot like the Brewers are? Brewers 7-3 in their last 10 games, the Dodgers 3-7. Which position would you rather be in? Gonna go over to the AL guys for this one. Brian, where would you rather be? 2.5 out and hot, or one game back and cold?
Depends on who I'm chasing, but I'd have to take 2.5 out and hot.
Angelo, over to you.
I'd say also, depending on who I'm chasing and if they're on my schedule, but I'd say 2.5 and hot.
All right. KP, they like your position a little better.
Who
better.
Wouldn't?
So, Jeremy,
me.
Scale of 1 to 10, how worried are you about the Dodgers making the playoffs?
I think right now I'm going to sit around a 6. Could go from 6 to about 15 in the next few days, though. We'll see.
All right. Going to go over to the AL guys now, and the Tigers lose a big game at Chicago today, a makeup game from a rainout earlier this season that puts them 3 games out in the American League Central, and they are 5 out for the second wild card spot behind the Baltimore Orioles. Angelo, what is your fright factor for the Tigers not making the playoffs?
I think it's already over. I think they don't have they don't stand a chance at making the playoffs. I hate to say it this way, but the White Sox got really, really lucky these last few days, with the rainout happening. First of all, not having to face Verlander, that I feel that's in a game like that, that's a guaranteed win for the Tigers. Then going into Cleveland yesterday and losing the sweep because Valverde blew the save, only his 3rd one of the year too, I believe. That kills. The Tigers are 3 games back with 16 to play. The White Sox would have to go 8-8, and the Tigers would have to go 11-5 just to catch them. Now, thankfully, we have 10 of our next 16, our last 16 at home, and the White Sox, I believe, have 7 of the next 16 at home. So that's one advantage. The other advantage I think we might have here is the Tigers play the A's next for 3 games at home, and then we go Twins, Royals. And it's very possible we can win some games. The White Sox have the Royals, then the Angels, which is huge in L.A. I really hope the Angels pull a sweep off because they need a win too. Then the Indians, which won't help, but then they have the Rays at home for 4, and the Rays are fighting to win too. So I'm really banking on the Rays and the Angels taking at least 6 or 7 total from those to give the Tigers a fighting chance, but I don't like it. Everything looks bleak. I don't like it.
That is the solace Tiger fans still have. They have their next 10 games at home, like you said, the A's, who have been red hot still, but then it turns into very bad to mediocre teams. Twins and Royals, 7 at home, 6 on the road. The schedule is still there for the Tigers to try and make a run on the White Sox still. It's the White Sox division to lose, but the Tigers are still in this, I believe. Gonna go over to Brian, and your Rangers have been sitting pretty much all season. The best record in baseball, in the American League, excuse me, 3rd best record in baseball behind the Nationals and the Cincinnati Reds, but all of a sudden, the Oakland A's are just 3 games behind the Rangers in the AL West. Are you at all worried that the A's could catch you and drop you into that 1-game playoff?
I'm going to put the panic level, or I'm going to put it at about a 2, because the A's schedule is not as favorable as the Rangers is. I mean, they're going, like Angela said, they're going to the Tigers, to the Yankees, then they have to come and play a 4-game set here in Arlington where they're not as good away as they are at home. where the Rangers just have basically the Angels are playing now just to knock the Rangers out of the playoffs. But we tend to play pretty well in L.A. We got them for three. Then we have Seattle this weekend. Then the A's, the Angels, then the A's again. So if we can take, if we can split or even take three out of four from the A's next week, I think that's going to pretty much wrap up the division for the Rangers.
That'll be a must-watch series. We will get into that on next week's podcast about what are the big series left to go in this A's-Rangers. Who would have thought back in April that Athletics versus Rangers would be a huge series for the playoffs in September? I'm going to move over to 3-up, 3-down fantasy, where I will now have a little humble brag that I am in the semifinals of all of my fantasy leagues. And I hope you are too. Hopefully we've been able to help you out with some fantasy advice on players to pick up, try and trade, buy lows, sell highs during the course of the season with our 3-up, 3-down segment. And we're going to start it off with 3-up once again, going back to KP. Who is your 3-up player for this week?
Wouldn't you know it, it's a Milwaukee Brewer. I'm talking about rookie pitcher Willy Peralta, who has come up strong. He's always been good in the minors in our minor league system, and he's just come up. He's got four starts on the year, one really early in the season, then he got sent back down. But his last three have been spectacular. I mean, he came out and allowed three earned, one earned, and zero earned. While he didn't strike out a lot, but he's got two wins out of them. His ERA is a 2.14. You can't argue about that. His actually first time he went past the seventh inning was just his last start. He went eight complete innings of two-hit ball against the Mets, which may or may not be impressive or not. But he also pitched against Atlanta and shut them down, seven hits, one earned, four Ks. I mean, the Brewers have got hot bats, and if you're looking for some wins, he'll definitely keep you in the game, and the Brewers' bats will hopefully put up more than five runs right to the second wild card spot.
All right, going to move over to my 3-up player for this week, and it is a guy that will help decide one of these playoff spots in the American League. It is Yankees starter Phil Hughes, who has been absolutely studly for the Yankees as of late. Over his last six starts, he has a 2.29 ERA with 32 strikeouts in 39 innings. He did get rocked in one start home against Baltimore, but everything else, he has had two earned runs or less in the other five starts and gets the Athletics this weekend at home. You've got to like that start for Phil Hughes and the New York Yankees. Going to go over to the last 3-up player this week, and it is a guy who was terrible earlier in this year, gets traded, and has been absolutely on fire for his new team. Angelo, who is your 3-up player for this week?
Mapes, terrible is an understatement, and what a revival of his season. I'm talking about Jeremy Guthrie from the Kansas City Royals. He just can't have a bad game lately. He's gone at least seven innings in seven of his last eight starts, and he's allowed two runs or fewer in each of those seven starts that he's gone. If he doesn't get a decision, that's because the Royals offense is just not helping him. He's doing everything he can to win ball games. And what would I want more right now than have Guthrie as my fifth starter instead of Anibal Sanchez? And not disrespect to him, because he hasn't been god-awful, but Guthrie's just been on a tear.
What are you talking about? Anibal Sanchez almost threw a no-hitter the other day.
Oh, please. Five innings is nothing. Okay, sorry. Hey, whatever.
You get 6 2/3.
I said he hasn't been terrible, but he started off kind of rocky for us. He's been picking up.
Jeremy Guthrie owned still in just 15% of leagues. If you're looking for a starter, you could do worse than him. Guthrie's been great for Kansas City. If you go to our blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com, I am doling out my Mapes Fantasy Specials pitchers that are owned in 50% or less of fantasy leagues to try and help you out if you need some pickups, if you're desperate in the head-to-head portion of your fantasy baseball playoffs. They've been doing either really great or really bad. It's kind of in the middle. So use at your own risk, but some good information over there if you're trying to make a decision on fantasy baseball pickups. Gonna go over to the three down portion of this segment right now. And Jeremy, I talked about Phil Hughes, how great he has been for the Yankees, but there's a pitcher in that rotation who has not been his usual self lately. Who is that?
Yeah, it's the last guy you'd expect. It's former Cy Young winner CC Sabathia, who has been the rock of that rotation since he came to New York, pretty much. And, you know, it's lucky that Hughes and Hiroki Kuroda have been holding down the fort. Otherwise, the Yankees might be even more worried about a playoff spot, let alone a division title right now, than they are. But, yeah, in September, CC is, you know, just – he's been awful. They've lost all four of his starts in September. He's 0-3, 5.4 ERA, 1.3 whip. And these are just numbers you're not accustomed to seeing, especially in crunch time from, you know, a pretty clutch pitcher and one of the best pitchers in the game normally. So I'm wondering, you know, he's had injury issues here and there, little nagging things this season. So I'm wondering if that has had an effect on his performance. But, you know, this is a guy that you really have to align your matchups and your fantasy playoffs very carefully, because, you know, if he's going to face off against a team that has a, you know, pretty good to potent offense, and the way he's been throwing, it might be worth looking at benching him, as weird as it sounds.
Brian, over to you for your three-down player this week. A former three-up player who has been a great starter for us, making us look good on the podcast when we made him three-up when he got called up, but he has been rough as of late. Who is your three-down player for this week?
It is none other than Minnesota Twins pitcher Scott Diamond, who, if you remember, was ejected from a game on, August 23rd, for intentionally throwing at Josh Hamilton. He missed behind his head, luckily, but he got the loss in that game. And ever since then, after he served his suspension, he has won one game in which he pitched five innings and gave up four earned runs. He has not been very good since then over his, it's four starts. He's 1-3 in those starts. And he's given up, 14 runs over 16 innings. It's just not very good. He's not getting it done for Minnesota. I know they may be out of it, but if you're in the playoffs, you're not.
I've had Scott Diamond in third place in my AL Rookie of the Year rankings for the past 3 months. And the way he's pitched lately, it looks like Matt Moore or Yu Darvish might end up taking his spot. We'll have our full Cy Young MVP Rookie of the Year rankings and ballots on the blog 3u3d.mlblogs.com once the season ends. Full ballots from all of us will hand out our 3u3d awards. Going to go over to the last three-down player with KP double-dipping, and he gets to taunt the Pirates a little bit here. A pitcher who was fantastic early in the season and has now been dropped from the rotation in the middle of a pennant race. KP, who's your three-down player?
My three-down player would be Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher James McDonald, who, yeah, came out really strong and has been nothing but terrible in his last 10 appearances. He actually got dropped back down to the bullpen, as Mave said. He went 3.2 his last time out, 5.2 the time before that, and 2.2 allowing 7 before that. I mean, he hasn't kept a team under 3 runs since August 28th against the Cardinals, which is impressive. But before that, nothing helping. He's not striking people out. He's walking a lot of people. He's not going to help your fantasy team down the stretch. Not one bit.
All right. That'll do it for three up, three down this week. And we're going to go to a segment where Trouble with the Curve, the movie starring Clint Eastwood, Amy Adams, and Justin Timberlake, about the life of a baseball scout going on his last trip, comes out this Friday, September 21st. I wonder if the studio should probably pay us for that plug. We've got to call up Paramount or whoever's releasing this film, see if they can get us some free tickets to go see this thing. But it got us thinking, what's our favorite baseball movie? This movie features the Atlanta Braves, so it's the first movie I've seen where the Braves have been featured, and almost all of our favorite teams have been featured in a movie now. So we're going to start it off with Angelo, whose team, the Detroit Tigers, were featured in For the Love of the Game. starring Kevin Costner. I don't think that's your favorite baseball movie, though, is it, Angelo?
No, it's not. And to be honest with you, I mean, as many people would probably say their favorite baseball movie is The Sandlot. And while I do really like that movie, my favorite baseball movie is definitely the Major League series. Maybe not so much the Back to the Minors edition, but I would say more specifically Major League 2 has got to be my favorite baseball movie.
You have no marbles. That probably would have been a better thing for Yunel Escobar to put on his eye black.
Definitely.
Dorn, no more of that Olay bullshit.
All right, KP looks like he's raring for the chance to go the Brewers movie, Mr. 3000.
With an indirect shout-out to Major League One, right? County Stadium.
That is true. That was featured in Major League One as the Cleveland Stadium, but rest in peace, Bernie Mac. KP, what's your favorite baseball movie?
It's not Mr. 3000, shocker, I know. But if I'm looking for like a good time, relaxing movie, just one I can take in, I think The Sandlot wins out, hands down. I mean, you can just laugh the whole time if you want. but if I'm looking to spend some time and enjoy a baseball movie, like the story for it, I mean, The Naturals, it's a long movie, but the whole thing keeps you entertained. I mean, who doesn't like watching Roy Hobbs wear number 9 for the New York Knights and hitting Savoy Special over the fence? I mean, it's an awesome story.
All right, Brian, over to you. The Rangers, not featured prominently in a movie yet, but they are the team that Jim Morris beat in Disney movie The Rookie starring Dennis Quaid, so you get partial credit there. What's your favorite baseball movie?
Well, I would just like to say that he didn't beat him. He just struck out Royce Clayton on 3 pitches, which wasn't very hard because Royce Clayton wasn't very good. But that's neither here nor there. My favorite movie would probably, I'd have to agree with KP, is probably The Natural. Or if I just want a little bit of nostalgia, I'll go back with The Sandlot, which is always a classic. But The Rookie is also a really good movie. I mean, who doesn't like a 40-year-old chemistry teacher making it into the majors? I mean, it's a great story.
All right. And Jeremy, last and least, like always, unfortunately, you get the best movie, as the Dodgers were the future team of Benny the Jet Rodriguez in The Sandlot, plus Dodger Stadium featured in Naked Gun starring Leslie Nielsen for that scene where Reggie Jackson tried to kill the Queen. What is your favorite baseball movie?
Yeah, those are both fantastic ones you just mentioned. And when I was reading your top 10 list on the blog, I just found myself wanting to watch every single one you listed again. And even though, you know, I also love Major League, and I was called Roger Dorn. That's my last name for anyone that doesn't know that. on my summer ball teams, and you know, love that too. I mean, it's pretty cool. I gotta go with The Natural. It's always been my favorite. I can't imagine anything topping it, especially Trouble with the Curve. I'm sorry to disappoint. I think it's gonna suck. But anyway, The Natural. I mean, we touched on it earlier when we were just chatting about this topic, and I could honestly just sit there and watch the last 15 minutes of that movie over and over and be completely content. The home run at the end, the music, the sparks coming down, it's just the most epic thing I've ever seen. That's epic. It just can't be topped.
You guys didn't even mention my favorite movie, even in an honorable mention. And my favorite baseball movie is Field of Dreams. I love the story. I love If You Build It, He Will Come. I love the cornfields. I love Shoeless Joe Jackson. I just love that movie. I can watch it over and over. I can watch any baseball movie over and over again. If Little Big League came on my TV right now as I was flipping through the channels, I'd probably stay up till 3 a.m. and watch the entire thing. I'll watch any of them. Guys, if you want to get points with your girlfriend, take them to see Trouble with the Curve. At least you can cover it up as saying, oh, I went to a baseball movie, but I think it's more of a sensitive movie. Your girlfriend will probably like it. You'll gain some points there. You might even be able to pass it off as a chick flick for a future movie down the road. But hey, it's about baseball. It can't be that completely bad. I will probably have a review of it on 3 Up, 3 Down. MLBlogs.com coming next week. I think I'm going to go see a cheap out $6 before noon Monday matinee with a couple friends, just because I have to see it because the Braves are finally featured in a movie and that's my favorite team. But that's going to do it for 3 Up, 3 Down for this week. I'd like to thank my Baseball Roundtable associates once again, Jeremy Dorn, Kurt Peter, Angela Felicia, Brian Boynton. I am merely your host, Brian Mapes. Thank you for joining us. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We will get to Eddie Mata the next time.